So for those whose matters are not being called, we will excuse you at this time. Okay.
Who are we looking to get?
We've got Daniel Jenkins is already on the line, and then Bill Harvey will connect with him and have him reconnect after this.
Okay. Do we know who 3012 is?
That's Daniel Jenkins.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, so we're right. Okay, very good. All right, so the first matter in executive session is going to be item number 47, Daniel Jenkins. And Mr. Jenkins, I understand you're on the line?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us. My name is Nathan Sosa. I am chair of the Ethics Commission. And so how this is going to proceed, as you heard earlier, is we're going to begin with a staff report. And our investigator is going to walk us through her findings, and we may have some questions for her. And then after that, we will give you an opportunity to say anything you would like to add, and we may have some questions for you. And after that, the commissioners are going to deliberate amongst ourselves in regard to the matter, but I want to emphasize that we are not determining today whether or not there's been any sort of violation. We're simply determining whether to move the case along to the next phase, which is the full investigation, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Great. Thanks so much. Staff report, please.
Chair Sosa, Commissioners. Susan Myers, Investigator. Item 47 is a preliminary review report for Daniel Jenkins, the interim sheriff for Harney County. The complaint in this matter, filed by one of the county's 911 dispatchers, alleges that Sheriff Jenkins promoted his sister to the position of lead dispatcher, giving her a raise and preferential shifts, and it also alleges that he directly supervises his sister. In his response, Sheriff Jenkins explained that he came on board in January, and shortly thereafter, the 911 director got fired. They decided for budgetary reasons not to hire a new director, but to create the position of lead dispatcher and to promote the senior-most dispatcher to that position. She served from January till mid-August when she decided it was too stressful and stepped back down into a regular dispatcher position. They then offered the position to the next most senior dispatcher, but she declined because she was moving on somewhere else. The third dispatcher is the sheriff's sister. The fourth is the complainant. They only have four right now. The sheriff acknowledges that he did participate in the discussions about promoting his sister, and it appears that he did recognize the potential for nepotism and attempted to address it by raising it with his colleagues and then with Judge Runnels, chair of the county court. In these discussions, it was decided that they would promote his sister, giving her a $500 a month raise, but have her directly supervised by Lieutenant Ellis rather than her brother. It appears in this case that Sheriff Jenkins may have violated the nepotism statute ORS 2441771B, which prohibits participating in any discussion or debate regarding the appointment or promotion of a relative. It is somewhat questionable whether he also violated 1A, which prohibits making, doing the appointing or promoting. If, in fact, the sheriff is actually supervising his sister, that would potentially violate 179, and there may also be violations of the prohibited use of statute office and conflict of interest statutes. Sheriff Jenkins appears to recognize that he may need further education or guidance in this area. Should the commission move this matter to investigation, we would confirm who actually made the decision to promote the sister, and if appropriate, seek to negotiate an appropriate stipulated final order.
Thank you, Ms. Myers. Any questions for our investigators? All right. Hearing none. Mr. Jenkins, is there anything you'd like to add? Mr. Jenkins?
It was kind of garbled on my end. If that was for me, I don't have any questions.
Okay. Is there anything you'd like to add?
The only thing would be, like, in reference to the pay raise and preferential shifts that were stated in there, that it's basically similar to what the other previous dispatcher that was the lead dispatcher was offered, and it's kind of just a standard across the board thing for the lead dispatch slash supervisor position.
Okay. Thank you, sir. We appreciate that. Any questions for Mr. Jenkins? All right, hearing none, we'll move into deliberations, and I'll just open it up to my fellow commissioners if anybody wants to discuss the matter or move forward with a motion. Yes, Commissioner Fiskum.
Chair, I think Ms. Myers probably answered this, but let me ask it again. If we move to an investigation, can you summarize what it is additional that we would like to find out?
Yes.
And thank you for your reference to that on page 201 of our documents, at least there, if not elsewhere. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. I would like to probably speak with Judge Runnels. There was some question in my mind whether he knew all the information when this promotion took place, and so it's mainly clarifying who actually made that decision. But primarily, I think the sheriff has indicated a willingness to be educated in this area, and I think that's the direction we would head.
Thank you.
All right. And I would just like to say for Mr. Jenkins that I really do appreciate that these matters can get difficult, particularly when you've got a limited pool of folks that you're working with. And I really do appreciate the fact that you approached Judge Reynolds in an attempt to get some clarity from a legal perspective on what to do. So I appreciate that you made that effort. Whether ultimately there was some technical violations on this, you know, I think may remain to be seen. But I just wanted to say that as Commissioner, I do appreciate you at least making the effort and recognizing that there were these laws out there that needed to be complied with. So. All right.
All right. And yeah, thank you for that. And I mean, obviously, he doesn't know all the ORSs, and I don't either. So any wrongdoing, it would definitely be on my shoulders, and it wouldn't be anything on him.
Thank you, sir. Any other discussions?
Mr. Chair, if you're ready for a motion,
yes,
I have one quick preamble. I appreciate your comment as we started this that our purpose today is not to find an investigation. Pardon me, not to find a violation. It is to move, if we approve a motion, to conduct an investigation. And Sheriff Jenkins, please take that as my emphasis of our chair's point. That said, I will move that we move to investigate possible violations of several ORSs that are outlined in item 20-0202 on our November 6th agenda.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. Any discussion on the motion? All right, roll call vote.
Commissioner Lindsay.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner Sartoon.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passed 7-0.
All right, Mr. Jenkins. So our investigator will be in touch with you. The case is moving to the next phase, but we very much appreciate you being with us this morning, and I hope you have a pleasant day and a nice weekend.
All right. Thank you all, and you guys have a nice weekend as well.
Thanks.
One more question. Is there kind of a time frame that I should be looking for? I'm assuming it'll be Susan Myers. Either if she visits or contact by phone?
I'll be in touch by next week.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Next matter up is going to be item number 48, Bill Harton. Mm-hmm.
And Jenkins
is now exiting.
Okay. Mr. Harvey, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am. Thank you.
All right. Good morning, sir. My name is Nathan Sosa, and I am chair of the Ethics Commission. I wanted to thank you for joining us this morning. We really do appreciate it. Just to give you a sense of how this is going to go, we're going to begin with a staff report where our investigator is going to lay out her findings, and we may have some questions for her, and then we'll give you an opportunity to say anything you'd like to add, and we may have some questions for you. And then after that, the commissioners are going to deliberate amongst themselves, but I just want to emphasize that what we're deciding today is not whether there's been a violation or not, but rather whether to move the case along to the next phase, which is a full investigation. Okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Staff report, please.
Chair Sosa, Commissioners, Investigator Susan Myers. Item 48 is a preliminary review report for Bill Harvey, Chair of the Baker County Commission. The complaint in this matter filed by Baker County District Attorney Greg Baxter alleges possible violations of the Prohibited Use of Office and Conflict of Interest statutes by Mr. Harvey. Mr. Baxter explains he was approached by County Commissioner Bruce Nichols and Sheriff Travis Ash regarding Commissioner Harvey's actions. The allegations fall into three main areas. First, Commissioner Harvey attempted to hire or contract with his son for the demolition of a county building. In his response, he acknowledges approaching the commissioners with this plan, but when they did not support it, he withdrew it. Second, Commissioner Harvey did contract with his son's company to haul docks for the county. He states he had oral approval from Commissioner Bennett. His son's company was paid $1,710. And third, Commissioner Harvey submitted questionable mileage and meal reimbursement claims. In his response, Commissioner Harvey explains that he was putting in long hours at Hewitt Park training the new park manager. He says the manager asked him to buy supplies and transport equipment, and because there was no county truck available, he had to use his own vehicle. Based on the vouchers we reviewed, it appears he was reimbursed from January to the date of the complaint. He was reimbursed $3,213 for mileage and meals, and apart from the first two trips, the mileage reimbursement was at a higher rate of 54.5 cents a mile. The county's policy provides that if you, for mileage reimbursement, if there is a county vehicle available but you choose to use your own car, you get 35 cents a mile. If there was no county vehicle available, you get 54 cents a mile. So for all of these 35 trips, he basically claims there was no county vehicle available and took the higher mileage rate. Based on the information available, it appears he may have violated the 244040 and 244120, and we are recommending that an investigation be opened.
Thank you, Ms. Myers. And if we were to proceed on, what information would you be seeking?
Primarily, I need to clarify and seek more information on the county's meal reimbursement policy in particular. He appears to have claimed a per diem meal reimbursement for lunches and dinners and breakfasts out at this park, which is 40 miles from Baker City. It is unclear in my initial review of policy whether that meal reimbursement is even permissible, because the one policy indicates that such per diem reimbursements are for conferences, not for business within the county. And then also, he has indicated that there are vehicle logs that would support his claim there was no county vehicle available. We don't yet have those logs. And then there were a couple claims, like there was one mileage reimbursement claim that on his little sticky note, which he submits as the evidence of why he needed it, he wrote, took county car for lunch in Richland. Well, if it was a county car, why is there a reimbursement claim at all? And there were somewhere there might have been some duplicate payments.
All right, thank you. Appreciate that. Any additional questions for Ms. Myers? All right. Mr. Harvey, is there anything you'd like to add?
Yes, sir, I would. I'd like to talk to
address each issue, if we may, separately?
Sure, go ahead.
And I'd like to know which one you would like to discuss first, sir.
In whatever order you like, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, in regards to my requesting to use my son to help me do demolition work on a newly purchased building in the county, it was for a very limited time and only for the purpose of doing demolition with me at a rate of $35 an hour because we did not have any other staff to help me do that, which I was donating my own time and tools. I made the proposal to the commission. If I may, first I checked with staff and read one of the government ethics laws briefs, and which I might quote under nepotism, a public body can hire the relative of a public official, but the public official may not be involved in the hiring process unless the official follows conflict of interest rules. A public official may not directly supervise a relative unless the body authorizes the supervision. I've got that information before I made my request to the commission, and I stated that there was no help at the county to help us, and that I needed to get this done as soon as possible because we're paying a lease on two different buildings, and my purpose was just to quickly get things ready for the subcontractors, and then I would write a scope of the subcontractors to do the work. When it was made known to me that they were not comfortable after they already approved to look at it and take some more time involved in it, in the minutes of our meeting, they both voted to approve that. So then it was charged later that they didn't. Well, the minutes reflect differently. Not only Mr. Nichols is the one who said he objected, which he did not, he seconded the motion. I withdrew that, and then I did take one of our other employees who requested not to be working in the courthouse any longer, and I utilized him for a few weeks over there, and then it cost us $80 an hour. So my intent on that purpose was to save money for the county and for the project. So I don't believe there's any violation of anything there. I did follow the rules. I thank you for that. In regards to me using my vehicle, which is a one-ton pickup truck, I was hauling tools, supplies, pulling trailers, going up in the mountains because we were putting in a new bridge that was not suitable for vehicle, passenger car vehicle travel. And I was hauling materials back and forth between the jobs and the parks at all times. You'll notice in the record that I did not charge the higher rate earlier in the year when I was not hauling supplies or pulling trailers or doing something. So I'm fully justified in charging the extra rate because we don't have extra pickups here to do this. So I could have taken somebody else's, but then they would not have a vehicle all day long because it is something that I go out and do all day long, training, support. I actually do the physical work out at the park. One day was cleaning all the septic tanks with a bumper truck. Another day was cutting down trees or cleaning bathrooms or showers or everything else because that's my duties as park manager. So I was doing what I was responsible for doing. And if I'm not hauling supplies, I either don't take my vehicle or I don't charge the higher rate. Never have, never will. So in regards to hiring my son to go load docks, as I mentioned earlier, I'm a parks manager, and it's my responsibility to try and manage this park with, I might at least say for the record, we have no tax funds for this park. So our costs to do anything need to be absolutely minimal as possible. We had the opportunity to buy some docks cheaper than it would cost to replace the four docks that were sinking at our park. And we made a deal with some folks on the other side of the river. We could not tow these docks down because many of them were in such a repair that they would not float. So it was decided that it would have to go all the way to almost Ontario, Oregon, cross the river, come back up through Weezer, through a mountain road, and only that a trailer, 24-foot trailer, would fit that. Then we would have to pick the docks that we were going to be loading on there with a backhoe, which my son is very experienced at doing, and I helped to load those docks. We were able to do it in 2 days instead of the three that I anticipated, and we were able, because I was there, to obtain another two docks in ear repair that we could use for parts for free. Came back, saved the money, and brought the docks and accomplished the goal. As just a note, I'm a building contractor, have been for 40 years. in private sector, that is the first thing that we think of, is how can we get the job done, the least amountable cost involved, and the shortest time. There's nothing different that I've ever done in my whole life was to do this. The commissioners both said, yes, buy the docks, please do so. We didn't follow up with how we were going to get them back, but we did. I asked Commissioner Bennett, and he said, sounds logical to me, go ahead and get it done. So we did not have a meeting because our meetings are only scheduled every 2 weeks. I did need to meet a timetable of the people who were in charge of having the docks there, their representative, and he was only there for a few days. So I accomplished that goal. In regards to the meals, I also noted in the report that you have that my wife, who volunteered her time, she was a parks director at one time many years ago, about 15 years ago, for Baker County, before I was employed at Baker County. And she came down for 3 weekends, about 4 days apiece, and helped me to augment the need for the parks personnel, and took time when they were off to facilitate the needs of the parks. And we were working from 6 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night. We brought our own motor home down there at our own expense, did not request any pay for her or any covered expenses other than what was allowed for meals. And that's why we had meals on the weekends, some dinners, and some breakfasts. And I didn't charge for both of us, I only charged for mine. So I am 50, 60 miles away sometimes in that end of the valley, and I don't have time to sit in a restaurant. I just buy things at a grocery store to eat as I'm going between projects, which are sometimes 40 miles apart. So that's why I chose to take the meal per diem. Our policy says to take per diem, not to keep receipts. Follow the procedure. And in regards to me taking my vehicle, I let the administration office know that I was taking my vehicle, that there wasn't any in the carpool to utilize for this purposes. So I appreciate the time to give an explanation, and I thank you for your services.
Thank you, Mr. Harvey. We appreciate the explanation and the information. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Harvey? Hearing none, then I will open it up to my fellow commissioners for a discussion on the matter. Director Burson.
Yeah, I'm not a commissioner, but you'd ask the question what we need to look at in investigation after listening to Mr. Harvey. You know, I think we need to clarify this role that Mr. Harvey has. Is he an elected official as a commissioner, an employee of the parks? And, you know, if the elected official is doing all the parks work, these other trucks, I mean, I think we need to, like, kind of clarify that whole role. I mean, is it his choice to go out and do this and the people inside the county now don't have to go out to that park, but maybe have to go to other parks? I don't know. But he seemed to bring up a few things that confused me, saying that he was an employee of the county, but I thought he was a commissioner of the county, which is an elected official of the county. So sure. There's a difference there between those two individuals. An employee, you know, has elected official, you just can remove an elected official from the county. So I think that's important that we clarify those roles and that he has in this kind of park setup and in his decision making, say to bring spouses and children into that role. So it seemed to get more confusing to me anyway. That's all I wanted to tell the commissioners to me.
Sure.
I think there's other things we need to look at in an investigation after listening to Mr. Harvey.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Harvey, go ahead.
I could clarify that for you if you'd like.
Yes, go ahead.
We had a parks manager, and it was costing the county $105,000 a year. Because we have no more tax revenue coming into the park system, we had to release that position. We could no longer afford it. I took the role of managing staff out there to save the money. I was able to save at least $50,000 to $60,000 because last year we lost $70,000. This year we have only lost $40,000, and my goal and attempt is to get it down lower yet. That's the reason that I do the roles that I have. We are a very small county. I have 20 different departments that I oversee, and I assist their needs as well.
Thank you, Mr. Harvey. Appreciate that. Any further discussion amongst commissioners?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
If you're ready for a motion, I'll make one.
Go ahead.
In view of what at least I, if not others, consider to be the need for more information and clarification, I will move approval of the staff recommendation to move to a full investigation in relation to Mr. Bill Harvey and item 20-206 on our November 6th agenda.
Okay. Is there any discussion on that motion amongst commissioners? All right. Yeah, I'll just add for Mr. Harvey that, you know, as you heard, sir, there does seem to be some information that we need as a commission in order to determine whether or not there's been any violations. And unfortunately, our investigators work in a very limited time frame up to this point. So moving forward, if we do decide to move forward with a full investigation, I just want to emphasize that we're not saying that there was any violation. It's just an opportunity for us to have some additional time to gather that information and be able to have a complete picture before we make any determinations. So,
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. All right, well, seeing no further questions or discussion, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Sotun?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passed 7-0.
All right. Well, Mr. Harvey, we are going to be moving the case along to the next phase, so our investigator will be in touch with you, but really want to thank you for joining us this morning. We very much appreciate it, and thank you for all your service out there in Baker County.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
Is Mr. Braun?
Yep, Mr. Braun is popping in right now.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Braun.
Mr. Braun
is now joining.
Oh. Mr. Braun, are you with us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can indeed, sir. Thank you. My name is Nathan Sosa, and I'm chair of the Ethics Commission. This is the time for us to hear your matter, and I just want to say we appreciate you joining us this morning. Just so you understand how this is going to go, we're going to begin with a staff report where our investigator is going to go over her findings, and we may have some questions for her, and then we'll give you an opportunity to say anything you'd like to add, and we may have some follow-up questions for you. And then the commissioners are going to deliberate amongst ourselves, but I just want to emphasize, sir, that we're not determining today whether there's been any violation. We're simply determining whether or not we want to move the case to the next phase, which is a full investigation, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Staff report.
Thank you, Chair Sosa. Commissioners, my name for the record is Lisa Kristen. I'm an investigator with the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. This is the matter of Peter Braun, case 20-207 ELC. It's item 49, page 225 in your meeting book. Mr. Braun is president of the Bandon City Council. A complaint filed by an employee, Cheryl Bremer, an employee of the City of Bandon, alleged in relevant part that Mr. Braun may have used his position to avoid a financial detriment to himself, and that he may have failed to file an accurate statement of economic interest in 2020. The complaint concerns Mr. Braun's receipt of a write-off of approximately $4,500 owed to the city for electricity provided to Mr. Braun's home. Mr. Braun initially arranged for the City of Bandon Electric Department to provide electricity to his home. He set up an auto pay. According to Mr. Braun, he had transposed two numbers accidentally on his account number for the auto pay setup. And he also had included, however, a voided check from his bank account. However, it happened, 3 years elapsed, and Mr. Braun was never charged for electricity by the City of Bandon. At the end of that period of time, the error was discovered. He received a bill for $7,000 for 3 years of electricity. At that time, Mr. Braun contacted the then finance director. She's no longer with the City of Bandon, and he also contacted the mayor in order to, according to Mr. Braun, resolve the issue of this $7,000 electric bill. What happened was the director of the electric department, Jim Wickstrom, agreed to reduce the amount to $2,500 for the electricity he received over a period of 3 years, which represented a savings of, again, $4,500. at this point in time, we're asking for an investigation to proceed into whether or not there was, we believe that there's cause to believe and adequate information at this time to believe that there's a potential violation of 244-0401 in that he achieved avoidance of financial detriment through use of his office. However, we don't believe that at this time there's information sufficient to indicate that he failed to file an accurate SCI. But for those reasons, we are asking to move forward on the 244-040 and ask that this be moved to investigation. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Ms. Kristen. And if we were to approve that, what additional information would you seek?
That's a really great question because in this case, I did speak with the mayor. I emailed the mayor back and forth a few times. I did not have contact with Mr. Wickstrom, who is apparently the official who approved the $4,500 reduction. I also was unable to contact the former finance director. I was having a hard time locating her, although I did speak with the current finance director. So I guess I would like more time, or what would be helpful in the investigation would be to contact all of those individuals and get a more clear picture of who agreed to what and when.
Thank you. And in your discussions with the mayor, she mentions in the report that she represented him in trying to get this matter resolved. Did she indicate whether or not she's done that for any other citizens?
I asked her that, and she basically said she was unaware of any other citizen who'd received the 45. I asked directly her and the current finance director, who did review past documents, even though she's relatively new to the position. Neither of them was able to... Both of them said there's never been a case where $4,500 was written off on a bill, and that the mayor said she was going to talk to Mr. Wickstrom and talk to other people at the city on behalf of Mr. Braun. The mayor said that she could not recall having done that for other people. But again, it is something I'd like to follow up with her. Neither she nor the finance director could recall, both stated affirmatively there had never been a $4,500 write-off for a citizen that they were aware of.
Mr. Fiskin.
Ms. Kristen, thank you for that information. What, in your judgment, does the word represent in this context mean? Or do you know what it means?
Well, that's why, again, I'm recommending investigation. What we have, and I did speak to the, emailed the mayor back and forth several times, and she repeatedly indicated that she was doing this to help Mr. Braun resolve this massive bill and that she believed the bill had been an error by the finance department, and that's why she was trying to rectify it. When I asked if other citizens were able to do so, she said other citizens could speak to me about bills, but she didn't indicate to me that she would go on their behalf and represent them. The word represent, when I asked her about that, she simply said she spoke to other people at the city about the $7,000 bill because it was excessive.
And one last quick, she is not an attorney, thus the word representation doesn't connote legal representation, I'm presuming, based on what you said.
What she said to me was simply that she was asking because he was a citizen.
Sure.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do any other commissioners have any questions for the investigator? Hearing none, Mr. Braun, is there anything you'd like to add?
Yes, I would. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity for allowing me to speak this morning. I certainly respect this process, and I thank the investigators for their work, but I categorically deny any ethics violations. So I don't believe as elected officials that we give up our rights as citizens or consumers. But knowing that as an elected official, I am governed by a set of standards not applied to individual citizens. So I thought it best to remove any question of impropriety, ask the mayor to investigate this matter on my behalf. I asked the mayor to investigate two specific things. How much the bill was, because at the time, the acting finance director couldn't even tell me how much I owed. And the second question I asked her to investigate was, how this error could have occurred for over 3 years. That was pretty baffling to me. I did not ask the mayor to negotiate on my behalf, and she has attested to that in her statement. The city of Bandon's finance department has had years of trouble in accounting administration, and I wasn't the only one harmed by this issue. There are, in fact, internal emails that were provided to the investigator that do not appear in this report. They illustrate that seven other people had the same issue. When companies make errors or are negligent, they make fair, good faith adjustments, and the city of Bannon is no different, and has done this many times in the past. At no point was I informed of or did I believe that I was receiving anything not afforded to all of the others that had this problem. This would kind of be an open and shut case and an obvious clear violation if others were denied the same opportunity I was given. And it would be morally and ethically wrong for me to accept favors like this, something that people didn't get. Let's be honest, I don't need an Oregon State statute to tell me that this would be wrong. So that's really ultimately my statement. I do thank you for your time and appreciate your efforts in this regard.
Mr. Braun, thank you. We very much appreciate you being with us, and we do appreciate the information and your feedback on it. Okay, well, I will open it up then to my fellow commissioners for discussion on the matter.
I have just a...
Yes, Mr. Burson.
So, again, you know, we keep talking about what we'd look at in investigation. I think one thing we have to look at here is the electricity itself and what the cost is of that. And, you know, what in this 3 years, so we were billed for $7,000 for 3 years, which, you know, it's approximately $190, $200 a month for electric bill. We paid $2,500, which that's about $70 a month. You know, I think in the investigation, I think one thing I would ask the staff to look at is you know, what's the current billings look like? Where are they at? The other thing, too, is we all... at least I have an electric bill every month, and you know, is it my electric company's obligation to give me that bill, or is it, you know, if I've missed a few bills, is it my obligation? Now here we've got the actual electric company is the city itself, and then I'm also curious. Yeah. You said somebody approved this reduction. Yeah. It wasn't the mayor. It was,
I'm sure it's the director
of the electric, and I would be curious on how many times that person does it for others who are maybe not represented by the mayor. So these are things that I think we need to clarify for the commission before we ever came to you and said there's a violation here.
Yeah.
So I think it's still important to realize that at this point right now, we're not talking about whether it's a violation or not. I think that it needs to be really clear to Mr. Braun here, that I think you folks need to have more information before making that decision.
Yeah. So. And Ms. Kristen, I would just say for me, what I'd like us to get to the bottom of is he said there were other folks who had this happen to them, that this has been a kind of a repeat problem. How have they treated those other folks? Have they also received write-offs? I know obviously not of this amount. But is he being treated the same as everyone else? And also his communications with the mayor and so forth, was that done through his private email? Was he identifying himself as president of the city council, or was he just calling saying, hi, this is Citizen Peter Braun here. I have a problem. I'm hoping you can help me with it. So I think both of those things are important for me.
Sure.
Just to kind of see exactly what happened. So... Okay. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, if you're ready for a motion.
Commissioner Fiskell, go ahead.
I move to accept the staff recommendation to move to investigate possible violation of ORS 244.040 sub 1 in Valley Mr. Peter Braun. The reason for the motion is we need more information and clarification. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any discussion on the motion amongst commissioners?
Sean Lindsay.
Is now exiting.
He lost connection.
But he lost on his phone, but then he connected via the video.
He's good. Okay, very good. All right, then. So motion has been made to move forward with full investigation. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay. Commissioner Lindsay.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner Sarkoon.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passed 7-0.
All right, so Mr. Braun, we are moving this case forward for full investigation.
Peter Braun.
So,
he's now exiting.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well then, with that, wrapping up our executive session, we'll move on to item 50, Dan Chama. Staff question.
Thank you, Chair Sosa. Commissioners, again, for the record, I'm Lisa Kristen. This is the matter of Dan Chandler, 20-208 SLC, City of Bandon, and this is item 40 at page 239 of your meeting book. Mr. Chandler is the city manager of the City of Bandon. A complaint was filed by Cheryl Bremer, an employee of the City of Bandon, alleging that Mr. Chandler may have failed to file an accurate statement of economic interest in 2020. The complaint concerned businesses owned or directed by Mr. Chandler and federal tax liens that Ms. Bremer alleged should have been included as debts on Mr. Chandler's 2020 SEI. After review of the SEI at issue, as well as receipt of information from all parties, including information about past businesses, past employment, as well as liens that had been satisfied or withdrawn by the government, commission staff determined it appeared Mr. Chandler's 2020 SEI was filed correctly and accurately. The report's in your meeting book with a recommendation to dismiss the matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for staff? Great. I'll open it up for discussion.
Mr. Chair, if you're ready for the motion, I have one.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we accept the staff recommendation to dismiss the complaint against Mr. Dan Chandler, City Manager, City of Bandon, item number 20-208 on our November 6th agenda.
Right, so moved. Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. Any discussion on the motion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Lindsay.
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner Sartoon.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passed 7-0.
All right. So with that, that completes our executive session. So I will gavel us back into regular session here. And
we are waiting on her.
Did she respond?
She's not responded yet.
May I invoke our previous commissioner's request for a bio break?
Of course.
Thank you very much.
We will take a quick 5-minute break here. We'll be back at 10:05. Off the record.
Thank you.
Always have to go live.